chair. Okay, all right, open to Exodus chapter 5. I'm going to continue on our series on Moses. Brian Mitchell is going to read our main verse, Exodus 5, 6 through 9, Anthony, Exodus 4, 31. Freddie, Exodus 5, 7. Robert, 2 Samuel 5, 17. David, Exodus 5, 21 through 23. Who else is there? Casey, Brew, Matthew 11, verse 12. Colby, 1 Samuel 17, 48. So continuing on in our series, I'm constantly amazed at how smart God is. This is a lesson I did, and I think I got back from somewhere and wasn't feeling well. We didn't have a serious man. This is the lesson I was going to do, but then some of you coming to me talking about what's going on in you, and God apparently is smarter than we are again. So this is a lesson. We're talking about Moses in his destiny, his the path. Basically, how do you arrive or get to the place of God using you? And so Moses has made good decisions. He decides to do right, and things get worse. And that is that's very, very common that happens. So we're going to talk about when things get worse. Exodus 5, 6 through 9, Brian.
So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our gods. Let more work be laid on the men, and that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words.'"
Okay, when things get worse, let's talk about the assault on good decisions. So in the life of Moses, we learn that there are points in time when God, he speaks and he reveals his will for our lives. That can be what he wants you to do right at this moment. That can be his will for your entire life. And so hopefully we do what Moses did, is we decide to believe God for his will. I am going to do the will of God. Exodus 44, 31.
Then the people of Israel were convinced that the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron. When they heard that the Lord was concerned about them, and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped.
So now this is the people. Moses comes and says, "Let me tell you what God wants for your life." And so they believe God. They worship. This is awesome. God is going to help us. And so it would be normal to have an expectation of success. Right? If I do right, this is what we tell our kids, if you do right, good things will happen to you, right? And so that would be normal. I decided to obey God. I decided to do God's will. So therefore, God will help me in every area of my life. I wonder if Moses and the people thought that I'm going to arrive, I'm going to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh is going to weep and think, "What was I thinking? I am so sorry for that slavery thing." He throw us a farewell party as we go, give us, you know, food for the road. But obviously that's not what happened. But this is what we think. I'm going to do the will of God. Money is going to roll in my marriage. It's going to be just butterflies and sunshine every day. And people are going to get saved. It's going to be incredible. So it's very simplistic reasoning, right? Good decision should bring good results. Maybe we even work in the scriptures about sowing and reaping. So if I plant some good decisions, then therefore God will give me some good results. However, in this story, the opposite happens. It's not good things that happen. Sometimes when you decide to do right, for a time things get worse. Right? That's the opposite. Like, wait, all right, I'll do the will of God, so things should get better. But sometimes they don't. They get worse. Exodus 5:7.
Do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Make the people get it themselves.
Okay, so now Pharaoh says, oh, you want to go? Instead of weeping, apologizing, and throwing a farewell party, he gives instructions. These people, they're slaves. They're making bricks, adobe, right? Mud and straw. He says to the Egyptians, before the Egyptians had been supplying the straw and the Jews made the bricks, he says, no more straw, and you have to keep making the same number of bricks. So now it's harder. They have to go cut the straw, and they have to keep up the same number of bricks. So in other words, when they believe God and decided to obey, in this instance, for the moment, things didn't improve. So this is what happens. Pastor, I'm so stirred about conference. Yes, I respond. I want to do the will of God. And then the next week, the car breaks down. Like, shouldn't someone have been giving me a free Hummer because I decided to do the will of God? No, the car breaks down. I lost my job. The kids are sick. There's conflict in marriage. Instead of butterflies and sunshine, we want to kill each other. Like, wasn't it supposed to get better? But instead, it gets worse. You have to understand, part of that is simply the nature of the enemy. The devil is called by different names, and they describe how he works against us. One of those is adversary, one who opposes or stands against or resists. So what you see in the Bible is the enemy attacks good decisions. 2 Samuel 5:17.
When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king of Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him.
Okay. When? This is a timing issue. They didn't just happen to attack on a random day. They heard that David had been anointed king over Israel. He is going to do the will of God. Therefore, that's when they attacked, because he does this. Balak, King Balak, he hired a prophet named Balaam to curse God's people. When did he do that? When they're headed for the promised land, because that's the strategy of hell. So what happens when things get worse? This messes with your head, doesn't it? It's like, and the question is often, what am I doing wrong? Did I miss God? Should we have not gone to Egypt to tell them? Should I have not said that I'll do the will of God? No, you may be doing nothing wrong. Sometimes you have trouble simply because you're making a right decision. Let's talk secondly about the aim of the assault. Why would the devil attack you when you do right? Okay? I think the first issue is the intimidation factor. The devil uses fear as a weapon. So what happens in people's heads is like, great, is this what I get for obeying and doing right? So maybe I shouldn't do right, so then I won't have problems. That's an extreme, but that's what people think. That the devil, he wants to get you to back away. All right, I'm going to go forward in the will of God. So then he assaults. What he wants is for you to go, okay, then I won't go forward. If this is what it costs, then maybe, or this just confusion. Did I miss God? Did I not hear from God? Or there are people just, it's just fear in general. If I do right, life is going to be terrible. This is the way it's going to be till I die. My marriage, my kids, my life, my family, my money, it's going to be miserable. So he wants to intimidate you so that you say, and I've seen this through the years. I see guys, I'm going to do the will of God. One problem comes and then they back off. They don't pray. They don't come to church. They don't come to serious men. Oh no, I'm going to do the will of God. One problem. Listen, if you keep doing that, that'll happen till you die. if you let that happen to you. Number two, the expectation factor. What the devil wants is not just to intimidate you now. He wants to change what you expect about the future. Some people, this is how they live. They are expecting trouble and defeat. They're like Wile E. Coyote, like looking up for the anvil falling from the sky. The Midianites came and attacked the Israelites 6 years in a row at harvest time. So what there happened, you can imagine there, you're working in the field, you're taking care of the crops, and you're thinking, but I know what's going to happen. Some people are like waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's another saying, way that people are thinking. John 5 tells about the man at the pool of Bethesda who's paralyzed. He can't walk. And he says, for 38 years, every time God starts doing something in the water would stir in some way. If you got in first, you were healed. He says, for 38 years, every time I'm just about to get, somebody gets in ahead of me. So this now becomes normal. Jesus is asking, do you want a miracle? He's not even thinking about the miracle. Let me tell you what happens every time I decide to believe God. So in our text then, what happens, this is what the devil would love to do, is he wants to change your viewpoint of God. What's so interesting about this scripture to me is that if you read all of the chapter, Pharaoh is the one who does this to them. Pharaoh's a picture or a type of the devil. So the devil does this, but who is it that our chapter 5 says they get mad at? Not Pharaoh, God. Let's read Exodus 5, 21 through 23.
And they said to them, "Let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and put a sword in their hand to kill us." So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Lord, why have you brought this trouble? Why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all."
Okay, so this is classic human nature. So things go bad. Why? Because of Pharaoh. The devil did this. So number one, the people, who are they mad at? Pastor Moses. Right? Great. You're the one who you talked me into this. Right? You're the one who preaches, hey, that God will help you. I don't see him helping me. So then what does Pastor Moses do? He comes like, "God, you're not fair. Great. I did the will of God and you didn't help me. Things got worse." That's exactly what the devil wants. There are people who will be in church this morning while we're singing and saying great things about God, but actually on the inside, they're mad at God. "You're not fair. I try to do the will of God." This is what happens sometimes with guys who come back for redirection. Like, why should I get involved? God didn't help me? Fine. I'll just sit here and do nothing because you didn't help me. They're mad at the wrong person. Final thought, the attitude of victory. So you have to, how do you break that cycle? I hope you caught the word that I used, temporarily. Things get worse temporarily. It's not meant to be for the rest of your life. So what has to happen? You have to make up your mind to believe God above the enemy's intimidation. If you read, I encourage you to read all of chapter 5, when Moses comes complaining, "God, you're not fair," God's answer was not to give a resume. "Let me show you all the ways that I am fair." Instead, what he says is, "I am the Lord." God is the answer. So God's word is true. God's will is right. And I am not going to change my mind. I say, I've seen guys, if your mind can be changed by your circumstances, you'll be like that till you die. What has to happen is, no matter what happens, no matter what it costs, if anything goes wrong, I am going to do right. That is actually where you start. And then, God's answer is holy aggression. You hear me through the years, I teach the principle of unacceptable. something that is unacceptable, what you have to do is you fight back. God's answer is, go back to Pharaoh. Take it to Pharaoh. And now the plagues begin. So in other words, God will fight for you only if you'll fight for yourself. If you're curled into the fetal position feeling sorry for yourself because everything went bad after you said to God, I'll do the will of God, then God can't help you. It's only when people fight for themselves that God will fight for them. Matthew 11, verse 12.
From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence taken by force.
Okay, this is how the kingdom works. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. In other words, attacks come. And the violent take it by force. That's an attitude. That's a posture. I'm not going to accept this. I'm going to fight back. And that's what we have to do. 1 Samuel 17, verse 48.
When the Philistine got up and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet the Philistine.
Okay, Goliath is trying to intimidate him with his words and with his appearance, and David ran quickly at the enemy. That's how you would think about this. This guy's a freak of nature. They say he would be 9 feet tall minimum. That's a freak. And David, he's got some rocks. He's got a few stones. But he ran at Goliath. That's part of why I actually don't think how big the rock was is irrelevant. How good he was is irrelevant. I personally, I think if he kind of went, whoa, went there, God would go, let me help you and grab that stone. So, in other words, it was David's faith and attitude of aggression that made the rocks effective, right? Until you decide to go on the offensive, God's power is checked. Paul, in Acts chapter 16, the demon-possessed girl who's distracting, calling out these men and the servants of the Most High God, the Bible says after many days, this kept on going, and finally, Paul's grief, he's had enough. Like, in the name of Jesus, you come out. Then God helped. God didn't just slap this woman or slap the demon. Right? He waited for Paul to rise up. So there has to be an attitude. Aggression can take numbers of forms. It can take actually any form, but think about that. There's something about what I see is people make the wrong choice. All right, things are going bad. I won't go to prayer meeting. I'm depressed. That's the total opposite of what you should do. Right? I'm not going to come to church. I'm mad. That's the opposite. So, obviously, normal prayer and coming to church. But then, in some ways, you want to be a man of God. There's something extra that is required, right? So, how bad do you want to break free? How bad do you want to break the enemy's assault? So sometimes that is, I'm going to pray on my own. There are times when things are going on in the church, I come to church by myself, not a regular prayer meeting. I'm coming praying, laying hold of God. Fasting is a way of saying I'm not putting up with this. Listen, if you go without food, you're serious. That's a serious thing. Giving. My wife and I have practiced this for years. The devil is assaulting. Fine, devil, then we're going to make an offering just for world evangelism. Let somebody else be saved because of our giving. You hurt us, we're going to fight back. Evangelism, I've done that. You things are going bad, instead of staying at home crying, I'm going to go witness to somebody by myself, simply on principle. So you see what I'm saying? All those are, it's an attitude of aggression. Then, in the overall, I want to leave you with this one thought before we open for questions. God allows battles now. Right? How we think this is unfair. This is unfair. If I do right, you should cause there to be no battles. But God lets things be hard. You know, the training for, you know, Navy SEALs or Delta Force operators or Green Berets, it's very hard. Imagine if they let some skinny jean mama's boy, like, here you go, here's a gun, let's go into battle. That would be cruel, wouldn't it? So they deliberately make it hard. Why? Because battle's hard. God allows battles now because if you want to do the will of God, there's constant battles. You have to learn how to fight. So in some ways, God is helping you. He doesn't remove every problem. He allows certain problems. It's from hell. But God doesn't slap the devil who's thinking of attacking you. He waits. Why? Because someday you really, really, really need to fight. So that is the will of God. So that is why sometimes when you make a right decision, things get worse. But it's actually the will of God helping you. Okay, let's open for questions then. Something that brings up and you want to ask about.
And so when we determine to do God's will and then face this, and we overcome the strategy, we overcome the battle, can we expect that down the line it's going to happen again? We can reference the former victory?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's, you know, number one is that there are several things. One is life operates in seasons. Life is not one unending 24/7 battle. There are seasons. You fight, 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 and then you get a breakthrough. You have peace, and things go well. You're in favor and blessing. Later on, there's another season of assault. So yeah, if you break through, number one, I can promise you if you'll fight, you will win. I'm not promising it'll be easy. Okay, no one here, like, I said one prayer and it's all fixed. It's a fight. It's hard. So, but you will break through. There will be a season of favor and blessing, and there will be another battle. Yeah, so then you learn how, exactly what you said. Then it's the previous battle. I fought a lion, I fought a bear, so I can fight a giant. That's how life works. You'll use it later on. Matt?
During these seasons, you may be trying to experience a kind of blessing or joy. Is that just kind of a well? And sometimes you're just in battle and you just have to, if it's time to fight, or can you figure out a way to, you know, focus on good things and still enjoy, you know, that time during the major conflict that's going on?
Yeah, you know, problems come in different sizes and shapes, so there are times where I'm fighting a battle. It's kind of on the back burner, boiling back there. It's irritating, but I can still, you know, focus on good things, enjoy life. On the other hand, I've had problems that are just from hell, 24/7. It's, you know, sucking my brains out. Very difficult to be joyful. But however, always, I don't care what I'm going through, I choose to focus on God. That's what I do. So I rehearse gratitude. You're kept safe in life by gratitude. I constantly am talking to myself in prayer. I'm saying it out loud. I'm talking to my wife. I'm deliberately telling other people how good God is. I'm telling them how God helped me in the past. Because that's healthy. It's very, very healthy. Yeah,
So can you turn the expectation factor into an awareness? I mean, like, when you're doing right, and then, you know, I've been here before, I know this is from hell.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a sensitivity? Is that just being spiritually aware? Or almost a positive, right? Like, you know, look, we're doing right, everything's going
yeah, good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do the math, right?
Yeah.
When did this start? When I decided to make a good decision, yeah. So, in one sense, what you want is you don't. What the devil does is he internalizes it. That's where what really hurts people is there must be something wrong with me or I wouldn't have this problem. Now you're making your problems twice as hard. If you know this is from hell, that doesn't make the problem go away, but at least I'm not wasting mental energy like, what the. Did I do something wrong? What's wrong with me? You know, that's not productive. Yeah. That helps you feel.
Do you remember, I'm not sure if this applies, I think it does, but I think it was Elijah, I think when Jezebel was threatening him, mm-hmm. ran away, mm-hmm. Was that him not like thinking about this correctly, this issue? He was not thinking that God was going to help him, he was just...
Yeah, I think, you know, I preach on that, I think it was false expectations. If you, number one, come into any problem in life with, if I do right, everything will go smooth, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. That's because that's not how life works. Life works the opposite sometimes. So, yeah. Yep.
Can a tax be like a dominion issue? If you're lacking dominion and so you keep being attacked?
Of course they can. You know, again, I don't... It would be incorrect to, you know, bro, the reason why you got problems, you don't have no dominion. That's just because you just happen to be having a good week this week. Right. So you're cool. It can be a dominion issue if you don't fight. Like I say, I've seen guys, they're people I'm thinking right now, they're in my head, they're backslidden today. And this was the pattern of their life. Every single time they would come and tell me, I want to do the will of God. Something bad would happen. And then they're laid out of church. They're missing prayer. They're doing that. And then they're okay, but it's like, if you don't stop that, yeah, it's like that forever. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it can be, but you should never apply that quickly. It's just a dominion issue. I think that's if that is the pattern over years and you're never getting a breakthrough. But just simply an assault is just from hell. You didn't do anything. Job, God said he's righteous and the devil comes and attacks. So it's not, he wasn't doing anything wrong. So you got to have that balance. Man.
Sometimes when you are, you know, taking holy aggression back and you can, you know, write down those things and see those things, is there also sometimes where you're just like, I'm just going to have to wait this out, you know, like,
well, yeah, you know, waiting out. I think the, like I said, the first thing is you have to set your will.
As long as you continue, it's not just like, yeah, just do so fast.
Yeah, it will. That's, I promise you. Yeah. I've never known anybody whose their problem has lasted forever. So it feels like forever. It's been like since Tuesday, man. This has been forever. So yeah. So God will, but the first thing is you got to set your will. Don't matter how long it takes, whatever happens, I'm going to do the will of God.
Pastor, in ministry, oftentimes, especially in pioneering, you're going through it and your wife will feel the same thing. So you're praying through those issues, but what's the balance and how do you protect your wife from the same intensity of pressure that you're going through? Obviously, weaker vessel. They process things different. You want them to help you in prayer and stuff, but you don't want them to feel the same way that you feel. How do you balance that?
Well, there are several things, Stephen. Number one is that, of course, in general, in marriage, you try to choose wisely because they balance you out. In what normally happens in marriage is one person is doing well and the other one is, I want to jump off a bridge. And the other, no, don't jump off a bridge. God's going to help. It's like, okay. And then they swap, right? And you take the bridge and I'll take the... So that's it. It's when you're both on the bridge on the same day. That's not a good day. So that's first of all, that's a balance issue. I think that the big issue is if you can control your mouth, you'll save yourself a world of hurt. That's the real issue. Guys, that their problems, they get magnified. Their biblical principle, the more you run your mouth and say bad things, the worse things get, right? And the harder it is to overcome. So there are guys, they're with their mouth, there's no hope, everybody's a devil. I'm suspecting the pastor, and I don't think God's fair like that. It's like, I feel better. And then the wife is standing on the bridge, like, what's wrong with you, woman? You know, you didn't help. I think that's one of the biggest factors. I try not to say everything I feel. And I'm not talking about hiding, like everything is wonderful. I'm not talking about being a faker or a hypocrite. But I try not to say everything.
Would that mean you're being intentional, speaking faith, speaking the promises of God to life?
Yeah.
That helps.
Yep. Yep. And then, but then there'll be other days, hopefully, in a good marriage, is that your wife will also need to speak good things to you. So I thank God for my wife. I tell you plainly, if you like good things in me, you should thank my wife. That crucial moment, that's a good moment right there. She has saved my bacon. Yeah. Somebody else.
So, Pastor, you said that when people were blaming God, but the devil or the adversary was using Pharaoh to make them lose faith or whatever. So, how often does the adversary ask God for permission to distract man, like he did with Job? Does this happen every time we go through bad seasons?
We don't have enough information. We only have one time in the Bible that we see the devil asking for permission. Mm-hmm. Don't know. So it's a. I think instead of trying to work that question out, you should take a positive from that, is that the devil can't attack you more than you can handle. That's what you should take. You shouldn't be trying to worry. You know, I'm working on the app of, did the devil ask for permission for this? I don't know, because there's just not enough information. What I should say is, I'm going through hell, but God wouldn't let this happen. If it was something that I couldn't survive, he wouldn't allow the devil to do it. That's what you should take from it. A positive, not a, it's an imponderable. Good question, but some things we just don't have enough information.
Good. When you're going through something and, like, let's say you're praying something out, and then, like, when do you, like, switch tactics? Like, okay, I'm going to start fasting, or I'm going to give, or, like, how do you figure, like, do you just do everything when you're going through something? You just start?
Yeah, that's just a personal decision. That's, sometimes it's one, sometimes all of the above. It depends on the problem, doesn't it? Depends on how serious the problem is. So, yeah, and that's really a personal decision. How bad do you want it to change? So that's up to you. So in some, there are some things I do by instinct, and then there are some things I do by inspiration. There are things I would just naturally always do, and then there are some things like I feel God telling me. So. That's why you got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You get close to God, there's nothing wrong with God's voice. He can tell you what you need to do. Anybody else? Questions? I've answered the world's problems. 7:34. That's incredible. Good. I see that I left the printed page in my printer. That didn't help. I'll bring them later on. I'm going to give them to Matt. If you want a printed page, I'll give it to Matt, and you can grab one from him at church today. Okay? All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.